Malachim Malach, Parak Ches, Pasuk Yud Beis. Now Shlomo Malach is giving a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's sort of referring to him and speaking out what the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be for, what it's supposed to act as. So let's see what he says. Alzar Mar Shlomo, Hashem Amar Lishkun Ba Rafel. Hashem was coming down to the Arafel. The Arafel is an analogy to this world. This world is known as called Olam from the Hebrew word of Ne'elam. Ne'elam means hidden. It's disappeared. Mm-hmm. It's not clear. The hand of Hashem in this world is not clear. It's not obvious. It's not apparent. So Arafel is also, things are very hazy, very dark. It's not, you don't have a clear picture. So that's why the Arafel is referring to this world. So this is the Beis HaMikdash, is really a place for Hashem to dwell in this world, which is really Arafel, fog, darkness. That's the analogy that Shlomo HaMelech is now giving. I now built you a base zvul that's going to be a place for you to dwell forever. And the Malbim here brings a mashal. He gives a mashal to a king, right? A king who has, he always goes on a road trip every year. In the summer he goes on vacation. And he's got his special spot on the beach. His special spot is the perfect view, panoramic view of everything, the right waves, the water's warm enough, the sand is thin enough. It's just the perfect spot for the king. Every time the king goes out for a trip, that's the place he goes, he hangs out there, he loves it. So one of his best friends, one of his close friends comes along, and he builds a house, a vacation home, right in that spot. Exactly where that is. Right? That is the same mashal to what Shlomo HaMelech did with the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was not built in a random place. It was built in an area that had the Shechina in it already from the beginning. That's where the Akedah of Yitzchak was. When Avram brought Yitzchak, that's where he brought him to Har Moriah. Right? That's where Yaakov davened. That's where he slept. Right? That place was set from Sheshes Mebereshis, from the 6 days of creation. It was set to be the place where Hashem is going to dwell, where the Shechina is going to dwell. And it never left. Even once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was never left. The Shechina always stayed there. In fact, there was a very interesting shayla that came to Rabbi Yosef once. They asked him, what's better? Is it better to go and daven in Kibbutz Tzaddikim? People travel all over the world. They go to Europe, right? They go to, you know, Scandinavia, they go all over, right? They even come to Malden sometimes, right? We had that group, right? That group of, that Rishi took around, right? They come all the way to Malden to daven Kibbutz Tzaddikim. So they asked Rabbi Yosef, they asked him, is it better to go travel in these Kibbutz Tzaddikim, or is it better to go daven at the Kaisel? Rabbi Yosef answered them, and he said, it's better, it's more effective to go daven at the Kaisel, because Shechina is always there. It never left. So that's a place where Hashem is dwelled from the beginning of creation, all the way until now. So what Shlomo HaMelech is doing is the same analogy of that close friend of the king that built the vacation home right in his favorite spot on the beach. Shlomo HaMelech is building now a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his favorite spot, so to speak. The place where the Shechina is dwelling, now Shlomo HaMelech went out and acted on that and built a permanent structure for Hashem, for the Shechina to dwell in.
Don't understand it.
What don't you understand?
We say God is all over the world, all over the universe. And
Of course. There's no question about it. You don't know the Ankamashi song. Hashem is there, Hashem is there, Hashem is always everywhere.
Right.
Up, down, right, left, all around, right?
That's you know what you song. Think to your kids, all right.
Yeah, that's what I think to my kids, all right. Right, so you're right, it's true. Hashem's Shechina is obviously everywhere, but there are areas, there are places in the world where the Shechina is more powerful, meaning that's where. Obviously, he controls the whole world. But just like, for example, in people, right? Jews have what's called an hashgacha pratis. Does that mean that Hashem does not keep an eye on all the other creatures in his world? Of course he does. But it's not the level of divine providence that he acts with the Jewish people. The Jewish people, he has that extra care, that extra looking out and taking care of them. That's we always have, you know, hashgacha pratis stories, right? The goyim don't have that because they don't have that special care, that close connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So just like he has it with people, So too he has it with places.
Yeah.
Some place, obviously the Shekhinah dwells everywhere, but other places, Hashem, the Shekhinah has a very, very strong presence. And that's where he is all the time. So now Shlomo HaMelech is saying, Bono Benisi, I built a base zvul, a place for you to dwell. Machon Neshiv Techa Elamim, a place for you to dwell forever. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is the main place where he's going to dwell. And it's brought down that from here, from this place, is going to come out the light to the whole world. But not only to the whole world, but literally to the heavens as well. That once Hashem dwells in the Beis HaMikdash, that reflects back to Shemaim, that reflects back to the heavens. And therefore, once the Shekhinah is dwelling in the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem's presence everywhere else is more powerful as well. But it all comes from this main, like, just like, you know, every company has, you know, its main facility. Obviously, like Google has its reach all over the world, right? Everywhere you go, you have Google, right? You have a phone, right? That's Google, right? Or whatever, Apple, whatever phone you have, right? But Google obviously has its main facility in Palo Alto, right? And somewhere in California. That's where its main facility. From there, it reaches out, so to speak, to the whole world. So too, when Hashem dwells in the Beis HaMikdash, His power, His Shekhinah, reaches out to the whole world. It's much more powerful. Obviously, even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hashem still dwells in this world, but it's much less obvious. It's much less powerful, right? Hashem doesn't have a Shekhinah. The Shekhinah doesn't have a place to live. That's when we daven for Mashiach, we say part of the reason that's brought down to daven for Mashiach is that, yeah, the Shekhinah misgoyelas ba'ofer. The Shekhinah is, so to speak, rolling in the mud, rolling in the dust, rolling in the dirt, because it doesn't have a place to be. Imagine Hashem, kivyachol, Hashem is literally homeless. He doesn't have a place to be. And it's not like, okay, you know, Hashem has got his spot in heaven, he's comfortable, he's got his chair, he's just like waiting us to build the Beis HaMikdash. No. The Beis HaMikdash, the main place of the Shekhinah is the Beis HaMikdash. And if he does not dwell over there, he's literally, the whole, that changes the existence and the dwelling of Hashem every single other place as well. It's not like Hashem has got like 10 different vacation homes. Okay, so one is destroyed. Okay, I'll just go to the other one. I'll hang out in the heavens for a little bit. No, it's not like that. Mm-hmm. It's much deeper. Yeah? So there's one place that's the basis for everything else. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the way the Malbim explains it. We'll elaborate about that more in a few minutes. I'd like to speak a little bit about that, and also have a few words about the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. Yeah? We'll get there. We'll talk a little bit about it a little more. So, Shlomo HaMelech goes on, Pasuk Yudal, V'yosef HaMelech Hispano V'yivarech Hiskol Kahal Yisrael V'chol Kahal Yisrael Oymed. Shlomo HaMelech is now giving a bracha to the Jewish people, and they all stand up. V'yomer Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Asher Dibur B'fiv V'sdavid Avi V'yodei Milei Lemor. Hashem gave a bracha to David, my father, and he says a very interesting line. He says, V'yodei Milei. What does V'yodei Milei mean? Literally, he filled up his hand. So the Malbim explains like this. The Malbim says that when Hashem, again, this is all analogy, it's a bit more mystical, it's a bit hard to grasp, to understand, but just, you know, to bring it down to our level, we'll speak in terms of this world, so to speak. So the Malbim explains that when Hashem speaks, His speech takes immediate effect. Hashem says, there will be light, and boom, poof, light just appears, right? There will be darkness, poof, darkness, right? There will be a sun, poof, a sun, right? There will be animals, mm-hmm. right? Hashem speaks right away, takes immediate effect, right? However, there is a difference there's two different ways that Hashem's speech can take effect. When it comes to an area that is not dependent on Bali Bechira, it's not dependent on people who have free choice, like us, human beings, then, when the second Hashem speaks, it's created right away, right? Hashem says there will be animals, poof, animals, right? Will be a sun, poof, a sun. However, there's another way, another aspect of Hashem's speech. When Hashem speaks, when Hashem speaks about something, but that thing does depend on Ba'alei Bechira, on those who have free will, free choice, right? When Hashem gives an order, so to speak, when He says something that's dependent on us human beings, so to speak, we have the power in our hands to determine if Hashem's speech will take place or Chas V'Shalom not take place. Right? Mm-hmm. So, Hashem wants something to happen in this world, and He, obviously Hashem set it up in this way for it to happen. But Hashem, so to speak, gives the power to us, the power is now in our hands to decide, to determine if that will actually take place or not. Right? We can choose. So Hashem wants her to build to be a Beis HaMikdash. So, it's up to David HaMelech, it's up to Shlomo to decide, okay, do I want to build a Beis HaMikdash? Or maybe not. Maybe I'm not going to build a Beis HaMikdash. Right? It's up to them, so to speak. So when Shlomo HaMelech is now saying, B'yodei milei, he's saying that it's up to him. It's up to him. It's up to us. Right? And it's up to me. David HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem didn't allow him. Right? Hashem didn't want David HaMelech to be the one, again, for different reasons, because David was the warrior. He had you know, blood on his hands. He wanted to be for his son that didn't have to fight any wars. But once Shlomo HaMelech's turn came, Shlomo HaMelech is, again, he was the one that can decide if Hashem's will take place in this world or Chas V'Shalom not take place. Right?
Or be delayed.
Or be delayed, yeah. That too.
Well, it's all chumash all over the place. God says, if you follow the rules like I gave you, they'll be fine. If not, they won't be fine.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, the person has to do it or not do it. That's his bechira. So if he screws that up, it's his own fault.
Right.
Plain talk. So the thing is just falling right through. Like you say, Hashem is all over the place. You know, it's all close. Hashem's control of nature is all over the place. The essence of Shem was only is in the Beis HaMikdash. So you can't have him out here with all the things that's happening here. He controls it through nature. But his essence that he has when he's in the cloud there is much stronger.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So let's see what he says further. Min ha'yoyim asher yitzeis yis'ami yis Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. Lo yivacharti v'ir mikol shivtei Yisrael. Livnais ba'is liyosh misham. Va'evchar b'david liyos al'ami Yisrael. So he's now describing two main points that brought the Jewish people together. First of all, was through the Beis HaMikdash. Yerushalayim. It says, right, Yerushalayim. Abenu yo ki'ir shechubra lo yachtov. Yerushalayim has that ability, that power to connect everyone and everything together. Just like the heart, the pumping heart, right? The heart sends out the blood that goes to the whole body. And without the heart, you know, the blood is not going to flow. It's not going to keep the rest of the body alive. So too, Yerushalayim is that pumping heart, that energy that keeps the rest of the body going. Second thing is through Malchus Beis David. Malchus Beis David, but David was the first king that literally brought everyone together under one wing. So the analogy the Malbim gives to Malchus Beis David was the brain, right? Yerushalayim is the heart, and Malchus Beis David is the brain behind everything. The brain is because through Hashem. Through Malchus Beis David, the Shechina was Shire, the Shechina was brought down to Klal Yisrael, and that brought the life to the rest of the... So the brain gives the order, so to speak, right? The brain gives the orders to the rest of the body. So to Malchus Beis David is what brought down the Shechina, and that's what gave the orders for everything to take place. So now,
Well, that's here, but wasn't Hashem's essence in the when they built the other thing they had carried with them? He came down there.
Mishkan, yeah.
And then the
true.
Mishkan, that's what I mean.
That is true.
It was there. I mean, this is not, it isn't anything new.
It's true, we have the Mishkan.
He wanted to build the house. Then he said you can't because of certain reasons. All right, but they had a place everybody for it in the Mishkan. Every time they did the thing, this new thing is, what is he trying to tell us here?
Well, it's true, the Mishkan did exist, and Hashem's Shekhinah did dwell over there. But again, we said that it depends mainly on the place, right? It's the place where the Shekhinah was set to be, in Har Moriah, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where it was meant to be from the beginning of creation. So yeah, there was a Mishkan that went with the Bnei Israel through the Midbar for 40 years, right? And then they brought it to Eretz Israel. Yes, it's true. But it's, again, it's not as powerful as it is when the Beis HaMikdash dwells where the Shekhinah is, which is in Har Moriah, where the Beis HaMikdash was built. Right? It's powerful, but again, not as powerful. It's a whole different ballgame when the Beis HaMikdash was built in the place it's supposed to be, where the Shekhinah is Shaira. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So now let's just take a few minutes and discuss a little bit about the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. So there are a few things that I want to talk about. First of all, right, I'm saying we spend a lot of time to discuss what happened with the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon when the Shlomo HaMelech built. So now, and we described what it does in this world, in the spiritual world, how it brings down the Shekhinah, and it spreads to the rest of the world, to Shemaim. So there are a few points that are very nagia. But I wanted to speak out. So now, first of all, we have to understand, right? We just finished describing how the first Beis HaMikdash was built, right? It was built by Shlomo. Everyone volunteered. They all took a part of it. Question is, what is going to happen when the Beis HaMikdash, with the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, the third Beis HaMikdash? Is it going to be built by the Jewish people? Or is it going to be built by Mashiach? Is it going to come down? Is it going to ascend from the heavens in the ball of fire? So it seems to be a bit of a stira. It's brought down in the Medrash, the Chuma. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ba'el Mazeh, Asis HaMikdash, Mishkan Mikdash Shayu B'chayim. In this world, you created the Beis HaMikdash. Well, Asid, in the future, Ani Ebnes Beis HaMikdash. I, Hashem, will be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. And it'll be surrounded with a wall of fire, right? And we bring the Pasuk. Right? We've seen the same thing in Yaakov Mishimoini. I'm going to build it with fire. Right? And the Rabbeinu B'chai brings down that the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. It's going to be a spiritual structure. It's going to last forever. It's named after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is also, obviously, lives forever. So it seems like Hashem will be the one to build it. Right? It's going to come down from Shemaim. On the other hand, you find in Yerushalmi, in Megillah, that the Melech HaMashiach is going to be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rambam brings that down to Halacha, that the Melech HaMashiach will come and bring back the Malchus Beis David, the kingship of Beis David, and he's going to bring all the Jewish people back to Israel. And he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash. Right? So the question is, first of all, what's going to happen in reality? Is it going to be built through HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is it going to ascend from the heavens in a ball of fire? Or is it going to be built by us, by Melech HaMashiach? Third of all, do we have any obligation to go ahead and take an action? Should we go ahead and run up to Temple Mount and kick all the Arabs out and build the Beis HaMikdash? Is that an obligation that we have? According to the Rambam, it seems that it is. The Rambam says, yeah, we have to be the ones to build it. Right? So, and if not, If you don't have to run up to Temple Mount, then what actions do you have to take? Also, the question is, when exactly will the Beis HaMikdash be built? If we say it's going to be built by Mashiach, is it going to be built before he comes or after he comes? And secondly, what is it going to look like? Is it going to look like the Beis HaMikdash of Shlomai? Or the second Beis HaMikdash? Right? The Beis HaMikdash that's brought down in Sefer Yechezkel, which is a completely different structure. And last question is, what exactly, how can we understand that for generations, years, almost 2,000 years, people have been davening, praying for the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash, and they were not answered? You have Tanoim, Amoraim, great people, great Tanoic sages, right? Rishonim, Achronim, and us, little us, we're going to daven, and the Beis HaMikdash is going to come. How can we understand that? So there are a few approaches. There's one approach that brings down that it says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin like this. It says Beita Achishena. When before Mashiach will come, it's Beita, it'll come on time. But then the pasuk after the word right after that, it says Achishena, I'll make it come sooner. So how do you understand that? Either it's going to come on time or it's going to come sooner, before the time. So the Rambam explains like this. He says that if it'll be on time, then we'll be the ones to build it. That's if we go according to the original schedule. But if we're zeiche, if we merit, then it'll come really, really fast. Everything will happen in a flash. And boom, Beis HaMikdash will be built back on the Shbarachu, it'll send from the heavens. That's one pshat of the Rambam. The Maril Diskin brings another pshat. It says in the pasuk, V'ar'enu bevinyonoi, v'samchenu betikunoi. Meaning what? That, in fact, the Beis HaMikdash will come down ready-made from Shemayim. Mm-hmm. However, Hashem is going to leave us little, tiny, little things throughout the Beis HaMikdash to complete, to fill in. And that's going to be our job. So it says, Har'enu, show us. It's binyan, the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. V'samchenu, make us happy, betikunai, with fixing it. So meaning it's going to come down, fully made. That's Har'enu bevinyanai. But make us happy while going ahead and fixing it. The little things along the way. Mm-hmm. Another pshat is that really we're going to be the ones to build it. And when Mashiach comes, he'll be the one to add the little knaches, the little fix, you know, little tiny things to fix it all around. So there's another pshat that's brought down by the Aruch, the Aruch Haner. The Aruch Haner speaks about the idea of Yerushalayim Shalmala. Yerushalayim Shalmala is the concept that's brought down as there's another city, so to speak, in Shemaim that's also called Yerushalayim. And what's a proof to that? In Hebrew, any time a word ends with Yud Mem, it means that it's plural. Like a naim, right? Eyes, two eyes, right? Yadaim, two hands. Like glaim, two feet. Was naim, two ears. Yerushalayim is also two, right?
Mm-hmm. I always wondered.
Right? So there's one Yerushalayim in this world, the Jerusalem that we all know in Israel. And there's another Yerushalayim up in the heavens, in Shemayim. Right? That's what it said, Yerushalayim HaBnuya, Yerushalayim that's built, Ki'ir Shechubra Lo Yachdav. Like a city that's connected together. Meaning there is a connection between Yerushalayim Shalmala, Yerushalayim that is dwelling in the heavens, and Yerushalayim Shalmata, Yerushalayim that's in this world. So according to this, we can understand that Yerushalayim Shalmata, the Yerushalayim in this world, is a reflection of what's going on in the heavens. Whatever is going on in the heavens, in Shemayim, that reflects, that manifests itself in this world. It's a reflection of this world.
As opposed to the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah, so what we look in Israel and we see Yerushalayim, it's really a reflection of what's happening in Shemayim. In Shemayim, whatever Yerushalayim looks like, that's what it looks like in this world. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So according to this, Daruch Haner, and we'll wrap up with this because it's getting late. According to this, Daruch Haner explains like this. He says that really Beis HaMikdash is going to be built L'Asi Lavoi through human beings. It's going to be built by us. However, it says Mikdash Hashem Koinenu Yodecha. Yeah? That there is just like a neshama and a body, right? A body has a neshama, a spiritual force behind it. So too, every physical structure also has a spiritual force behind it. And so, what we're doing through our davening is we're building the Beis HaMikdash upstairs in heaven, in the Shemayim. Right? We're building it brick by brick, every single tier, every single davening, every single prayer. That builds the Yerushalayim Shalmala. It builds up the Yerushalayim Shalmala, and especially in the Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. And once that is going to be completed, then it's going to ascend from heaven. It's going to reflect itself. It's going to manifest itself in this world, and it's going to manifest itself in a way where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. So who builds the Beis HaMikdash? It's us, right? We're not going to actually take the bricks. What?
Through prayer.
Exactly, through prayers.
Not me, doesn't me banging.
Exactly. So even if we rush up, you know, to Temple Mount right now, and we start, you know, taking all the bricks and we start building, it's not gonna be able to exist, right? It's not gonna be able to. It's not a structure that we will be able to last, because when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it's not because it just happened to be that the Romans came and they happened to burn it. It wasn't just by happenstance. It's because the Beis HaMikdash Shalmala, Yerushalayim Shalmala, was destroyed up in Shemayim. That's why it manifests itself in this world. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. The Gemara says that when Titus came and destroyed Yerushalayim, well, what are the Tanaim saying? They tell him, Kemach Techina Techat, right? You grounded flour. Meaning the flour that you grounded was already grounded. You destroyed a destroyed building. Right. You're not the one who destroyed the building. The building was already destroyed in Shemayim, in the heavens. Right? You happen to be the Shliach. Okay, you're going to be punished for that. That's a whole different talk for a different day. But the point is that once we build the Beis HaMikdash, that is going to manifest itself in this world. And according to this, we can understand how it is that for many, many years, for generations and generations, there are so many prayers by people much greater than ourselves, much greater than us, right? And still, they were not tzleiches. So little us, we're going to daven, and then our prayers are going to be answered. But according to this, the answer is very obvious. Because the prayers, so to speak, build it up, no pun intended, they build it up for decades, for hundreds of years, hundreds and thousands of years, They were the ones to build the Beis HaMikdash. We just need a little bit more, right? Once the Beis HaMikdash is completed in Shemayim, that's when it's going to come down to this world. That's when it's going to be rebuilt. So, according to this, we can understand how Dafka, our davening, our prayer is going to be the ones to bring down the Beis HaMikdash.
Even though we're not in proximate to so Yerushalayim, the physical Yerushalayim, because we're
right, exactly.
Because we're on the other side of the world.
Yeah, right. It doesn't matter where you are.
According to that, you said before it's going to be there, but the people down here will complete it. Now, what would they have to do to complete what was already made from the print and everything else? What exactly?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but
just so that we have some sort of
we have some sort of physical thing to also take place. Yeah. Meaning it's going to be built a spiritual building.
I don't know if he's talking about physical.
Haraynu bivinyon. Show us its binyon, right? Show us the building will come down from Shemayim. Vesamchenu, make us happy. Betikunai, with fixing it, with completing it, mm-hmm. right? So we're going to be the ones to complete it. We're going to do a few minor little things, yeah, and we'll see, we are the ones that completed the building of the base of Mikdash.
Completing us of doing the right thing. To really be doing the right thing. Now, people can do good and bad and good and bad, but when that thing comes down, it's ready because of all the prayers and everything else. But still down here, it's still down here, maybe the people are not loyal enough to have it. And they have to show through all these other, their prayers, that the people now should have the same prayers to solidify.
Right.
Why the base of Mikdash is here. It doesn't mean physical. I think it means metaphysical. Mm-hmm. Is what he means. You know, it's come down. I'll take a hammer and bang something in it.
Right.
No hammers.
I mean, what do you think of that?
Wait around and see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, what's that?
Wait around and we'll see what happens.
Well, again, but it depends on us. Depending on the way we act, right? That's gonna determine how the base of Mikdash is going to be built and by who. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, there's a set plan. Whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen. It all depends on us. We should be zeicher beis Hashem to see the bina base of Mikdash. May Ramein Amen. All move to Yerushalayim. Live there, go to the Beis HaMikdash. Bekar be'aminu, amen. Yeah.